My arms shine with golden bangles that catch the light. My hands and feet have been painted in ornate patterns like a bride's. I wear a sari, the deep purple of an orchid. When I move, the folds of the fabric change colour, glistening from orange to red, from indigo to silver. A celebration is taking place. Girls in bright yellow saris dance barefoot on a blanket of lotus blossoms. Smiling warmly, they dip their hands into large clay bowls, scooping up rose petals, which they throw high into the air. The colourful rain falls slowly, the petals settling in my hair and on my bare arms. The scent reminds me of my mother, but I'm not sad. It is too joyful a day. The girls clear a path for me. They run, tossing flowers until the way ahead is a fluttering spectacle of red and white. I follow them toward blue sky. I am at the mouth of a mighty stone temple, as ancient as days. Above me, Shiva, the god of destruction and rebirth, sits meditating, his third eye seeing all. Below me are perhaps 100 steps. I take my first step, and everything vanishes. The temple, the girls, the flowers, everything. I am alone on desert sand, the only blot of colour for miles. There is nothing in any direction but sky. Hours feel like seconds, seconds or hours, for time is a dream. A warm wind rushes past, the grains of sand brushing gently at my cheeks. And then I see him. He's no more than a speck coming toward me from the distance, but I know it's him, and suddenly he's before me. He rides a painted horse, and his clothes are black and fine. A garland hangs from his neck. In the centre of his forehead is a red mark made with turmeric, like an Indian bridegroom's.
"Hello,"
he says. He smiles, and it is brighter than the sun. He reaches down. I take his hand, and the world falls away again. We stand in a garden made fragrant by lotus blossoms as large as beds. "Where are we?" I ask. My voice sounds strange in my ears.
"We're here,"
he says, as if that answers everything. And in a sense, it does. He takes his knife and draws a ring around me in the dirt. "What are you doing?" I ask.
"This circle symbolizes the joining of our souls," he answers.
He circles me 7 times, stepping into the enclosure on the 7th. We stand facing each other. He presses his palms to mine. I do not know if I am dreaming. He slips his hand behind my neck, pulling me gently toward him. His hands twine in my hair, and he rubs the strands between his fingers like a fine silk he longs to purchase. And then his mouth is on mine, hungry, searching, overpowering. This is a new world, and I will travel it. I don't know what I should like him to say. I love you. You are beautiful. Never leave me. It seems I hear all of this, and yet he says only one word, my name, and I realize I have never heard him say it this way before, as if I am known. The skin of his chest is smooth under the weight of my fingers. When my lips brush against the hollow of his throat, he makes a sound that is a bit like a sigh and a growl.
"Gemma."
His lips are on me in a fever of kissing. My mouth, my jaw, my neck, the insides of my arms. He places his hands at the small of my back and kisses my stomach through the rough fabric of my dress, sending sparks through my veins.